Hello, it's really good to see you all again and to be back here. First reading is Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord.
So Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original conviction firmly to the very end. As it has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were those who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt, with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hebrews 4, verses 6 through 13. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gain because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David as it was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it is absolutely wonderful to be with you. Mackenzie, thank you for reading for us so well, and the other readers as well. My name is Dave Clancy. I'm the vicar here. I think I mentioned that before. It hasn't changed. Why don't we say a little prayer and we will get to work. Our Father in heaven, your word is glorious. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Your word is living and active. Your word works. And so, Father, we do pray now as we sit under your word, that you would, as those readings have commanded us, you would soften our hearts that we might not harden them. Help us to listen carefully wherever we are at, wherever we stand before you, whatever we think of you. Father, would you be kind and gentle and firm and clear with us so that we might know how good our Lord Jesus is. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, we're starting off this afternoon with a small activity. It's for the kids mainly, but anyone can play. Is that all right? I'm looking at you, Thomas. Are you going to let everybody else play? Representative kid. Excellent. Well done. On the screen in a moment are going to be four screenshots from the various kids reports over the last 10 weeks. And what I'd like you to do is talk to your neighbour about, and especially ask one of the kids who's around, I want them put in chronological order from first to last. I'll show them to you in a mixed up order. You've got to put them in chronological order. Somebody pointed out to me this might be a tricky way of finding out who actually watched church over the last 10 weeks. That wasn't my intention. It's a fringe benefit, but it wasn't my intention, all right? I just want to be clear on that. So here is the first one. Here is David with his puppy and Grace. Then David with his cake and children. Then we have Chris with his children, the Von Spark family. And then we have this massacre that happened in our kitchen. So they're the four shots. What I want you to do is talk to the person next to you and work out what order, chronological order. Which one was first? Which one was last? If you're visiting with us today, I'm delighted that you're here. I'm very sorry that this is very difficult for you to engage with. Right, enough time. Yes? Yes, Colin Penno's happy, confident of a win here, I think. It's not really for you, Colin, but that's all right. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Which one was this? First, second, third, or fourth? Fourth, last one. Everybody happy with last? Yes? Good. Okay, you are correct. Well done. What about this one?
First.
Any dissent? No, first one. Also correct. This one? Second? You sure? Really sure? Okay. You're correct. Excellent. Well done. And the reason I wanted to test you is because this obviously was third. But the point is that actually that's an outtake from... that didn't happen in the kids' spot. No vicars were harmed in the making of that kids' spot. But you've done very well. You've obviously been watching and you've remembered. That's excellent. Well done. Today we are thinking about our memories. We're thinking about remembering. I've got 3 points. The first is this. It's reasonably straightforward. Let's remember God's goodness to us during lockdown. Remember God's goodness to us during lockdown. Last night, Amanda, my wife and I were having dinner with some dear friends, and we were talking about how quickly we've reverted back to normal. I mean, the idea of sitting across a table sharing a meal with somebody in your own home seemed very normal to us last night. But if you think back 6 weeks, could you imagine it? Could you imagine having somebody cooking a meal for somebody and having them just wander into your home and leave at the end of the evening? We wouldn't have considered it. Now, you might be thinking, I'm quite happy to forget lockdown. I don't want to remember it. I came across this during the week. Years from now, we're going to be like 2018, 2019, 2021, 2022. Somebody will go, hey, what about you missed? Nope. We don't talk about that one. We don't talk about 2020. Some of us might be very happy to leave 2020 in the past. And yet, friends, the Bible is full of calls on God's people to remember his goodness to them, particularly to remember his goodness to them during times of hardship. So the readings we heard from Hebrews, which we'll come to in a moment, had lots of language about something called the Exodus, that event where God saved his people from slavery in Egypt and brought them out into the land that he was giving them. And that event of the salvation happened during the Exodus. It was to be remembered every year at the Feast of the Passover. And at the Feast of the Passover, the head of each family was to retell the story of God's work saving his people from slavery and fear. Year after year, you are to remember and you are to rejoice God's goodness to you. The Psalms are full of accounts of great hardship that God's people have been through, and yet his faithfulness and his goodness to them through that. They're written down so that God's people might remember and not forget he is, even particularly even in tough times. There's no skirting it. These last weeks, 10 weeks, have been full of hardship. And yet with the eyes of faith, I want to suggest we should and can look back on that and remember God's goodness to us. Think about us as a country. Whatever your political position, don't mind. Whether you think things should have been done better or differently, whatever. God has been good to us, yes? He's been kind to us as a nation. You consider what could have been. Look at what is happening elsewhere. God has been good to us. Not only as a country, think about us as individuals. Now, all of our stories are different. The journey that we've been through over the past 10 weeks is unique. What you've been through is not identical to anybody else's. For some, these weeks of lockdown meant that they've never been busier. As essential workers or trying to work from home and look after their kids, these 10 weeks have been full of stress and hardship. For others, lockdown meant that they've never been more bored. For some, they've been full of isolation and loneliness, and it has been horrible. For some, the weeks have been full of fear as work and job and employment have disappeared. For some, these weeks have been terrific. You've learned how to bake sourdough and got out to the garden and had a wonderful time. Whatever your experience, can you remember and look back and see God's goodness to you? He's protected you. He's provided for you. He never left you. He never ignored you. I urge you, remember his goodness. Let me give you some examples. Think about the weather. Imagine if the 4 weeks of level four kind of lockdown, the weather had been like it was yesterday. Imagine that. Think of his goodness in the care and support shown to you through others. There have been some wonderful relationships developed here over these weeks of isolation. There's one lady I heard of who normally goes to the 9:30 service. She said she's now thinking about coming to the 4 o'clock service because the person that she was calling every week and talking to every week goes to the 4 o'clock, and she can't imagine not going to church with this person whom she's developed this friendship and this relationship. What wonderful provision of God through that. See his goodness in the money which was given by many people in this church to support those who are struggling, who have lost jobs, who are in financial hardship. See his goodness in the strength he gave you, your vicar and the staff to keep producing services week after week. That was all of him, let me tell you. Look back and see his goodness in the way he strengthened your faith. Has he failed you? Has he hurt you? He hasn't. See, one of the signs, the marks of Christian maturity is being able to look at something at a time and say, that has been a hard time, and yet God has been good to me, and I can see the fingerprints of his grace in this time. Now, that's not saying that we don't still have questions. It's not saying that those bad things are good, not at all. It's not saying that tough times aren't hard, far from it, but it is being able to remember those hard times and remember God's goodness even in the midst of them. And so because we remember his goodness, we praise him. We thank him. That's what we're doing today, part of what we're doing today at least, lifting our voices to sing and rejoice how kind he has been to us, bringing us here together now. But of course, it's not only these past few weeks that God's been good to us, is it? And it's not only these past few weeks that we remember his provision and kindness. The coming weeks and months will all be about recovering from the past few weeks and months. We've heard in the past few days that NCA requirements are being lowered. If you're doing NCA this year, I imagine you're quite rapt about that. If you did NCA a couple of years ago, I imagine you're less rapt about it, but that's all right. There's a recognition, isn't there, by the Department of Education, the Ministry of Education, that things have changed. And we've got to change things in order to try and get back to normal. We've got to adapt and do things differently. And that's good and proper. Go out and support local businesses, please. Do all those things that are right to see us get back onto our feet as a country. But I think that there is a risk for us in the midst of all this. As we go about recovering and as we go about trying to get back to normal, enjoying all the things that we've missed, focusing on the things that we didn't get to have over the past 10 weeks, the danger is that we start to forget about some other things. And so the final 2 points, the last 2 points of this talk, are about God's encouragement to remember two things. To, yes, remember his present goodness during lockdown, but also to look bigger than that. And as we move forward, to remember God's perfect goodness to us in Jesus Christ. We had two readings from a letter written to the Hebrews, a letter in the Bible. A letter written to a group of Christians, encouraging them to not give up trusting in Jesus. That's the main kind of drive of the letter. But the part of the letter that we read, two different chunks in one and two different chapters, there was an assumption in there. In chapter 3, verse 14, the author used this phrase, "We have come to share in Christ." And there's an assumption, I think, about what it means to share. I just want to spend a moment sort of unpacking that a little bit. Because when I hear that word share, I think of me and my brother having to try and share one of these. There's an old school heater, it was colder when I was a child, I think. So we used to, at night, I'm painting a very dark picture, aren't I? At night we used to huddle around this heater and... it wasn't that bad. But we did used to have this heater that we would have to try and share. And for me and Steve, sharing meant trying to make sure that your brother got the least amount of heat possible and you got the most amount of heat possible. And so because both of you were doing that, you kind of, you had this you know, harmonious relationship where you both leant on each other, pushing and equal and opposite forces and all of that. And so sharing meant if I had to share, I had to give up some heat. If Steve wasn't there, I got all of it, right? But if he was there and I had to share it, I got less of it. And we can kind of begin to think, well, sharing in Christ, what does that look like? Sharing in Christ isn't like that heater. Sharing in Christ is like underfloor heating. Let me explain why. We've moved into a new house, it's got underfloor heating in it. It means everything's warm all the time. It's glorious. And so if I want to share in that heat, I just have to enter into the house. And if I invite you in, you share in that heat. And you sharing in it doesn't reduce it for me. We get to share it together. In fact, we can invite some more people in, as many as we want to, up to 100 now, right, who can also share that heat. Mind you, you put 100 people in our home, we don't need the heating on anymore. That to one side. To share in Christ is God inviting us into relationship with him, to participate in and benefit from all the goodness, all the joy, all the kindness, all the undeserved mercy that he pours out on us in Jesus. And the letter to the Hebrews has described what some of those benefits are, what those who share in Christ actually receive. They receive purification from sin, chapter 1, verse 3. See, God has made us, through Jesus, God has made us clean from all the things that we carry around, that we are guilty of and ashamed of, things that we are, a little fly flying around my face, all those things which mar us and taint us, and we stand before God and we go, we know we haven't done the right thing, we know we're guilty, and Jesus purifies us from that. He washes us clean from that. More than that, he's suffered death for us. You see, that is how he has brought about that purification. To share in Christ is to know with certainty, absolute, that God will not hold us accountable for our wrong because Jesus has borne our punishment. He has suffered death in our place. He has tasted it so that we don't have to. He has suffered death for us. He has gone through death. He's been raised to life everlasting on the other side of death. To share in Christ is to have that as our future. To be able to face death, not terrified of the unknown, but to know that because he has gone before us, he has defeated death and he awaits us after death. Which means that now, as we share in Christ, we are made sons and daughters. We have been brought to glory, to his presence, that we might know the one who's made us and loves us, who holds the world in his hand. We have been made holy, right and clean. See, to share in Christ is to be made part of God's whānau, to be brought into his family. To share in Christ is to be free from the power of death, to be free from that haunting, terrifying presence lurking in our future. We have come to share in Christ. See, all are invited to come and share in Christ. You put your faith in him, you trust in him, you receive him, you share in him. Into God's invitation, which says, confess your sin like we did earlier. Trust in Jesus to have forgiven you. And you come into, to push the illustration, you come into the warmth of Christ, you come into God's house and all he has done for us in Christ. So let us remember, church, God's perfect goodness to us in Christ, all that he's accomplished through his death and resurrection. But it's not only remembering looking back, which God calls us to. It's not only looking back to that day, Good Friday and Easter Sunday, when Jesus died and rose again. It is also a remembering God's promised goodness to us, which is still to come. See, there's another day. There's a day of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the day of the Lord. There is another day of the Lord when Jesus is at work, when Jesus, who was raised from the dead, will return. See, I mentioned earlier that this passage has a lot of imagery of the Old Testament and that Passover event, that bringing God's people up out of slavery and then bringing them into the land. And that imagery is a picture, a type, it's a shadow of what God does for us perfectly in Jesus, that salvation out of sin, out of punishment, into freedom. And there is a type, a picture of that entry into the land which is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. See, the rest which God offers his people in the land of Canaan, it's a shadow of the rest which is found when you and I put our faith in Christ Jesus, when we share in him. And it's a picture which will be received in all its wonderful perfection when Jesus returns. And we see that kind of the heart of it is in these words from Hebrews 4. For if Joshua, now Joshua is the leader that God had established to bring his people into the land, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Christian, you and I are people who look back and remember. We remember that day that Jesus died and all that means for us. And we are those who remember that there will be another day, a day when the Lord Jesus returns. And all that means for us. See, on that day, all that we currently share in Christ will be realized. It will be experienced in all its utter perfection. See, on that day, our purification is made complete and our desire and our capacity to sin will be removed. Won't that be a day? See, on that death will be perfectly destroyed, and never again will we be fearful of it or touched by it or see it. Oh, won't that be a day? On that day we will see our God. We will see Jesus and the marks in his hands and side and feet where he suffered death for us and was that we might receive purification from sin. We will see him and we will see all of his family. Those who have died in Christ, those who have gone before us, those who will come after us. And on that day, we will live in a perfect, eternal, new creation, as real and as wonderful as this one is, but so much infinitely better, because we will be with Jesus himself. See, we are people who remember that day. See, the danger with underfloor heating, apart from the eye-watering cost, the danger of underfloor heating is that you forget about it. It's always there, right? I mean, that's the kind of the point of it. It's always there. It's always on. It's steady. It's persistent. And so you just forget about it. You take it for granted. In fact, it's designed to not be noticed, to not get in the way, so that if you're living in a house with underfloor heating, you can just get on with life. You do what you want. You receive all the benefits of being warm, but you don't have to think about it. You just get on and live your life. Underfloor heating is a terrible illustration of Jesus. It's a terrible illustration of Jesus. Because, you see, it presents Jesus as a thing that we just need. He's just there, helps us out, creates a nice environment, and then I can get on with what I want to get on with. I can live my life the way I want to live it. Effectively, once we've got Jesus in place, we can just ignore him. Jesus is not like that at all. Jesus is the Lord, God himself living and active, present and powerful and personal, who on that day died for you. He took your sin upon him, was thinking of you as he bore your guilt and shame. Who will come for you on that day, for you. You will have to give an account to him. But he is coming for you to redeem you and to take you to live with him forever. See, in those 2 days, which are all about knowing and loving Jesus, those 2 days impact this day. See, the readings from Hebrews were about those 2 days. But the author's concern is actually today. You've shared in Christ. He's coming for you. So keep going with him now. Don't turn away from the living God. Did you hear those words? Instead, encourage each other as long as it's called today. Did you hear those words? Don't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Don't give up believing. Don't fall short. Don't disobey. In sum, he's saying, don't forget. Don't not remember. And the way we not forget, the way we remember is by listening. Twice in chapter 3, again in chapter 4, the author quotes from Psalm 95, which we had read earlier. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. See, today is the day when we hear God's voice in his word. A word, as the writer of the Hebrews says, is living and active. A word which is insightful and powerful. A word which shows us who we are, as David pointed out to us as we confessed our sins. And a word which presents us with Jesus. Jesus who has died. Jesus who will return. Today is the day when we hear God's voice in his word and we remember him and we praise him and we trust him. Today is the day. And tomorrow is also today. And next Thursday is today. And every day is today, do you see? And every day God calls on us to listen. Every day is today. When we encourage each other to keep on listening and believing and obeying, every day is the day to hear him speak of those 2 days, to remember Jesus has died and been raised, to remember Jesus is coming back. Friends, you have done so well as a church over these past few weeks living this out, of encouraging each other daily, of not hardening your heart, of hearing his voice through those phone calls, encouraging each other, through your Bible reading, through youth group on Zoom and fellowship groups and church hubs. You've been encouraging each other. You've been urging each other to keep on listening. Even coming along today is such an encouragement as you come and listen and your brothers and sisters go, she's here listening to God's word. He's here listening to God's word. Let's keep listening to God's word. But friends, this call to hear and listen to God's word is not an invitation or a command to endless Bible study and sermon listening. No, we hear his word. We remember his death. We look forward to his return. We keep on listening to him and we live for him. See, there is work to be done. There is work to be done in recovering from COVID. There is work to be done in decrying injustice and racism. There is work to be done in obeying the Lord Jesus and loving our neighbours as ourselves. There is above all work to be done in speaking to those who do not know Jesus of those 2 days, of speaking of the one who invites them to come and share in Christ, the only one who can provide purification and forgiveness, the only one who can offer hope in the world to come. But all of that is done in light of those 2 days, not forgetting them, not assuming them, not dismissing them, but having them, having God's word about them, shape and form every single day as we hear his voice and pray that our hearts would not be hardened. Because do you see, the most economically recovered, racially just, neighbor-loving life which doesn't share in Christ is a life without any hope at all. Today, we hear his voice. And so today, we remember his goodness. We praise him for his kindness to us over these past 10 weeks. Today, we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. We remember his return and his rule. And today, we commit ourselves to hear his voice, to not harden our hearts, and to live in relationship with the one in whom we share. Shall we pray together? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've answered our prayer of earlier and that you have spoken and we've heard your voice through your word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you would strengthen us and equip us and challenge us to not harden our hearts, to not forget, but that we might remember your present goodness, that we might remember your perfect goodness in the Lord Jesus and your promised goodness when he returns. And therefore today, as long as it is called today, might we listen to your word and do what you tell us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. We remember God's goodness.